You know what it is. That's right. It's time to talk money with your money nerd and financial coach. Now, tighten those purse strings and open those ears. It's the Money Talk with Tiff podcast.
Hey, family. It is time for the Finance Friday Live. How are y'all doing today? Please let me know in the chat. Would love to hear from you. Just let me know that you're here and you're ready to learn something today. All right. It looks like we're live everywhere. Yay. This is getting faster and faster every week. Hey, hey, hey. Please drop in the chat if you're here joining me. We're about to go over some personal finance news. If you're listening to the replay on the podcast, this is Finance Friday Live. It happens every Friday at 12 p.m. Eastern on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. I go live simultaneously to try to meet you where you at. But we go over all of the personal finance news from the week. So stuff that you should be paying attention to. And if you don't, then that's what I'm here for. Just to give you the brief Cliff Notes version, right? So pull out the important stuff and leave the fluff. So let's jump right in. I know every week I have an update on the student loan forgiveness. This week is no different. I can tell you that now. I saw a lot of influencers hopping on lives and things like that saying that the application is out. It is not out yet, just FYI. What they were referring to is the White House put out what the application will possibly look like, okay? Which I'm glad they did because it gave me an idea of what they're going to be asking for and looking for. And honestly, y'all, it's very simple and straight to the point. There is no, you don't have to upload any tax returns or anything like that. You don't need your FSA ID, which is your federal student aid ID. You don't need that. So it's been a long time since you've been in school. It's not needed. All they literally asked for was your name, your date of birth, your social security number, your phone number, and an email address. That's all I saw on the form so far. As you can see, very straightforward. It's not meant to be difficult. And like I said last week, if people are like, oh, well, you know, pay me and I'll fill it out for you, that's all they're asking for. And I'm sure you know your name, your date of birth, your social, your phone number, and your email. That can ease your fears around that if that was a concern for you. Also, they announced when it comes to the income requirements. So as a reminder, as an individual, you earn less than $125,000 or as a couple, less than $250,000. They are only asking you on the application to check a box certifying under penalty of perjury under the laws of the United States of America that all information provided on this form is true and correct. So what you're agreeing to in layman's terms is that you're not lying. Everything that you provided them is true. And mind you, this is the government, y'all. So please don't lie on these things. They will come and they will find you and they will get their money back. But they're just going to take your 2020 or 2021 tax return information and they're just going to pull that automatically. So you don't have to upload that. And that's actually good news for some people because 2020 and 2021 might have been a rough year for you. Maybe you didn't make as much as you would have normally. I know that's the case with me. So now I'm like, oh, like this is awesome if that's the numbers that they're going to use. So that's all the updates that I have for the student loan forgiveness this week. The application has not been released yet, but like I told y'all before, make sure you go to the website, the government website, and put in your email so that way you can get notified when the application does release. All they did so far this week was release what the form will look like. And so that's what we know so far. Very easy, straight to the point. And I'm gonna keep this segment straight to the point because that's it. So if you have any questions as I go along, please feel free to drop them in the chat. I will check them periodically. So let's go on to my next topic here. If you have an FSA, okay? So an FSA is a flexible spending account. First of all, I feel like I let you down, okay? And let me explain why. I did not know that as part of the CARES Act that came into effect in 2020, that they made provisions for FSAs. I didn't know that. Now I feel bad because I'm supposed to be the one educating y'all. And I didn't know that. But now I know that that was a thing. Now, why is this important today? Because although the 2020 CARES Act allowed you to roll over all unspent FSA funds from 1 year to the next, or gave you longer to spend the money, if your company adopted that provision, that relief ends this year. So I know I'm late to the party, but now you know. And if you have been taking advantage, if you knew this and you've been taking advantage because you have an FSA, a flexible spending account, then keep in mind that any balance on December 31st may have a use it or lose it rule, okay? If your company does allow you to roll over any 2022 FSA money, it will only be limited to $570. And this is by the laws of the government. So there's no way around this. And fortunately, maybe there's people that did take advantage that knew about it. But even if you didn't, just know that starting December 31st, that stuff is out the window. So it's no longer a thing. And just as a refresher, FSA, flexible spending account, it has a use it or lose it. That's how it's always been. And the HSA is the health savings account. That one does not have a use it or lose it provision. So if you have a choice between an HSA and an FSA, highly suggest an HSA, depending on what your goals are. Now, there are dependent care FSAs, which you are going to have to use those funds to, which focus on daycare expenses and child care or dependent care expenses. But HSAs, in my opinion, are superior to FSAs because you can keep rolling. FSA, you could keep rolling as a result of 2020, but now that ends on December 31st. So please use up your FSA money. I know, for instance, I was at my mom's house. She was like, oh, let me go ahead and get some DayQuil, NyQuil, all that stuff you need for cold season, any seasonal medicines, maybe some allergy medicine, whatever. If you have a medical expense that you need to do, definitely get that done before December 31st if you have an FSA. Because there's no telling if your employer is going to adopt the rollover. They don't have to. It's completely up to them. So just keep that in mind. All right, moving on. Let's do Social Security next, okay? So if you didn't know, Social Security is about to make an extremely rare move in raising the Social Security checks the most that they've been raised in 42 years. 42 years, y'all. The cost of living increase is going to be the most it's been in 42 years. And that number is 8.7%. So this is great news for our seniors and stuff out there, or people that get Social Security. You don't even have to be a senior. But if you get Social Security, this is excellent news for you, because your checks are getting bumped 8.7%. And that is to keep up with inflation. So it's a good and a bad thing. I mean, it's bad that we have inflation, but it's good that they are actually making moves to make it more comfortable for people that do have these checks coming in and rely on them, or even if they don't rely on them. Some people just get it as like a nice cushion that they earned and through their working years. And tens of millions of Americans have Social Security benefits each month. And so this is awesome news and great news for them. I am so very excited just having grandpa and grandparents and things like that. Like, this is awesome news in my opinion. So that's also why it's important. I know last week I went over the jobs report. This is why it's important that we have people working, because that's who's paying the Social Security benefits. It's not that they have the money saved up from when these people worked before. No, they're using the new money that's coming in from workers. So that's why it's important that we are all, everybody that, you know, is employed at their highest level and not underemployed or unemployed. So that's my soapbox for today. Not going into it. I did it last week. So last but not least, I wanted to get into the IRS. So they just made an announcement yesterday that they are going to be sending out millions of letters. Hold on, somebody had a question. Does this apply to receiving SSA funds from the loss of a parent to a child left behind? I do believe that it is for all Social Security payments, whether it's survivor's benefits or disability or just Social Security insurance, SSI or SSDI. I think it all is going to have this 8.7% increase. Now, I could be wrong, so don't quote me, but I do believe that that is the case. So thank you for the question. And like I said, y'all, please let me know if you have questions. Matter of fact, let me check the other accounts here to make sure I'm not missing anybody before I go further. No problem at all. That's what I'm here for. Trying to keep y'all informed, keep myself informed as well with what's going on. Okay, I don't see any further questions, so let's get back. All right, the IRS. They will be mailing out letters, so you may get a letter from the IRS warning, because there's about 9 million or so people that have not gotten their COVID era payments. And when I say COVID era payments, I'm talking about the child tax credit payments that was coming out, the COVID relief payments that was coming out. There are still millions of people that have not received that, possibly could have qualified. So now what the IRS is doing is they are going to be sending out letters to people that didn't claim them yet. So either you didn't get them throughout the year automatically, or you didn't put it on your tax return to claim it. They are going through and they're sending letters to you. So if you get a letter from the IRS, it could be good news. It might not be something bad. So make sure you're checking your mail and make sure you don't miss that. Because if you're one of those people and they're like, oh, this person probably could have qualified, but they didn't get it yet, they're trying to let you know. So make sure you check your mail. I know some people don't. I've seen it in action, but it's so important to check your mail. And if you see something from the IRS, it may be important to open. So make sure you make that happen. But according to this article, it says people can potentially get five-figure payments if they haven't claimed last year's expanded child tax credit. So that's worth as much as $3,600 per child. The stimulus payments, which were $1,400 per person. The child and dependent care credit of up to $8,000. So there's a lot of money still out there that hasn't been claimed yet. So if you feel like you have not received those and you qualify, it may be something to look into. And I say that because leading into this, you only have 1 month left to claim it. So that's why the IRS is sending out letters, because if you never received a payment, time is running out to get that money. You have until Tuesday, November 15th to complete a simplified tax return to claim your missing stimulus or child tax credit money if you're not typically required to file your taxes. So if you are someone that did not file their taxes because you don't need to, you don't have to, you didn't have any income or whatever, you have until Tuesday, November 15th to complete a simplified tax return to claim those missing payments. And like I stated before, it could be a lot of money out there for you. So definitely keep this in mind. Also, and my tax people will probably love me for saying this, if you filed a tax extension earlier this year or haven't filed yet, your deadline to submit your tax return, if you're required to file, is coming up in just days. So you only have until October 17th, which is Monday. So if you filed an extension, you haven't filed your tax returns yet, you have until October 17th. So let me run through those dates again. If you are required to file taxes and earlier this year you filed an extension, you didn't make it by the deadline, you still haven't filed yet, you have until Monday, October 17th. If, and I'm sorry for the podcast people because you won't be hearing this until next Friday, so that's why it's important to be live. If you aren't required to file taxes, but you think that you may qualify for the stimulus payment or the child tax credit money, which was mostly everybody, you have until Tuesday, November 15th to file a simplified tax return. So that way you can get access to that money. And like I said, the IRS will be sending letters to people who they think need to fill that out. Also, if you were affected by one of the recent natural disasters like Hurricane Ian that came through Florida, so on and so forth, you have until February 15th to file. So they have a little special date if you were affected by one of the natural disasters. So if you live in an area covered by the Federal Emergency Management Agency disaster declarations like Kentucky or Missouri, you have until November 15th to file. So I know I threw a lot of dates out there, but the most important thing is if you are not in Kentucky, Missouri, or probably Florida, then you only have until October 17th to file your taxes. If you're if you are required to file your taxes, you have until November 15th if you're not required to file taxes, but you want to get your missed stimulus or child tax credit money. And if you are in a disaster declared zone, then you have until November 15th to file your taxes. And if it was Hurricane Ian, you have until February 14th. So hopefully all of that information helps. And like I said, if you have any questions, even if you're watching this replay, please go ahead and let me know. If you're listening to the podcast, please let me know if you have any questions either on the website or just go back to the replays on one of these channels. And I will be more than happy to answer for you. So that is what I have for you today. I covered a lot. Hopefully it was helpful for someone. Please let me know if there's any other way I can assist you as far as what's going on in the personal finance realm, or if there's any just general questions you want to ask, because I have Tiffany's Take every Tuesday on the podcast where I answer your questions on the podcast. So if there's any questions you have, feel free to utilize me. This is all free, y'all. I mean, why not? But anyway, thank you so much for listening, and I hope you all enjoy the rest of your Friday. Peace.
Thank you for listening, joining, and being a part of the Money Talk with Tiff podcast this week. You can check Tiff out every Thursday for a new Money Talk podcast. But if you just can't wait until next week, you can listen to previous podcast episodes at moneytalkwitht.com or follow Tiff on all social media platforms at Money Talk with T. Until next time, spend wise by spending less than you make. A word to the money wise is always sufficient.